Hey folks, welcome back. I've got Michael Rostoski here joining me again today. Hey Michael.
Round two.
Round two. Yeah, so we did a podcast recently and shared it with the world. Got quite a bit of feedback on As a Man I Hurt, our last podcast episode. So yeah, curious, how's that been for you? How's it been to have our last recording live in the world?
What I enjoy about it is that there's certain people who like I really love and respect a lot in the world. There's certain people who I admire who got to watch it and they got a lot from it. So there's something that's always that feels really good when I put something out in the world and people that like I admire and respect who have a lot of integrity and sensitivity and deep practice. They get to watch it and then they're super nourished. And I go, oh, good. You know, this is the space in which we were conversing from was like very generative and very supportive for those who have like the ears to listen and the hearts to feel. I think one of the most common themes that I saw was just people celebrating our friendship and being like, whoa, it's so cool to see two masculine men who love each other and celebrate each other. Like, that's rare.
Yeah, that's a ton of the feedback I've gotten is wow, it's just amazing to see two men, masculine men, get together, enjoying each other, celebrating each other, encouraging each other, and also pointing to the spaciousness, the room to explore and get curious and unfold space and time together, unfold, yeah, to just unfold collectively here.
Yeah, I mean, I love to jam about sex. I think I shared with you I'm currently co-facilitating a program called Men of Substance. It's specifically for men in committed relationships, and it's a sexual potency incubator that goes way deeper than like superficial, like you know, here's how to flog a woman, or like here's how to choke a woman, or like here's 12 techniques that work every time. Techniques are great, but a lot of our program is more of like the soul of sex and certain principles that take men out of the performative nature of sex. You know, always rushing to a goal or rushing to orgasm and more in their beingness. And from that place, like just so much opens up and we Yeah, I'm like emotional, like I'm about to cry. It's like we did the first round and you know, like there's men who are, you know, they've been married for like over 20 years, or men who are like, you know, like very accomplished in their own, you know, in their own attainment as, you know, entrepreneurs or teachers. And, you know, you seeing them get results and having their wife say things like, I trust you more than I ever have. And it makes me weep that I can create something that can like impact a father and a husband. And like, and I look at that, it's actually kind of surprising at just like how impactful some of this work is. And it's pretty simple to, you know, create a space where men can like empty out fully around sexuality, like empty out fully all the shame and the guilt and the things, and then be met with every other man saying, oh my gosh, yeah, me too. I have those, you know, hang ups around my cock, or sometimes like my dick isn't hard for an hour straight. And I think that's an expectation because I grew up watching porn. I watched porn for 20 years. And then like when I lose an erection, then like I completely collapse. And it's like, no, like that's normal. There's natural fluctuations and cycles and, you know, male sexual response. And so it's really a joy. So I love to jam about sex. I love to jam around like sex as a gift, which I've noticed. I can even share personal stories around that. And I just noticed that when men remember that they are love, like when they come to that place through meditation or, you know, psychedelic assisted therapy or personal development work, like their like erotic circuitry actually changes. And then instead of trying to quote unquote like get pussy or get laid, which is a very taking, extractive expression of sex, they realize, oh, like I'm a gift, and my cock and my body and my love and my presence is a gift, and who do I wish to share that with? And then when they show up in that way, the energy flows in a different way. It's just, it's so much more ecstatic and beautiful and tears of joy. And then depending on like the level of spiritual attainment and embodiment, sometimes it'll open up these like alternate dimensions of mystical experience for people. So that's what I'm juiced about right now. How about you?
we could go on this for weeks. I'm like, So first of all, I feel jealous or some, I want to be a part of the container that you have. And I'm not in a long-term committed partnership right now. I don't have a girlfriend. I'm not married. So I want to name how much I want to be a part of the offering that you have. And if and when I ever get a long-term partner, I'm going to join, or if you ever decide to get one for single men or men who are dating, let me know, because I really want to be in this playground that you're convening. So number one, I'm going to tell you that, and let you know how touched I am hearing your offer. It hits a chord in me that's like, I want a chance to empty everything in relationship to my sexuality, and a chance to really see and be seen by other men, and just be in relationship around what's happening in our sex lives. So I'm appreciating you. I'm appreciating the work you're doing, the space you're holding, and what you're inviting guys into. It's awesome. Like huge. I'm like huge rounds of applause and fully, fully, fully supportive of you. I'm encouraging anyone who's listening, who's resonating with your offer. I'll put a link in the podcast notes to find Michael's program. So please join. If it's touching that chord in you where you know you can't not be a part of it.
Thank you. And I'll share the first thing first. I very intentionally designed this program for now to have it be with like married men and men in committed relationships. Because when a man gets like sexually activated in some of these like deeper energetic tantric ways, like he just runs a lot more energy in his body, and he has like a more potent fuck. Yeah. And I got activated, I'd say in like 2013 or so, just working with different teachers, like world famous teachers in sacred sexuality. And I look back and like, I feel almost like I wasn't ready yet. There were certain like elements of like inner child work that I hadn't done yet, or just like I wasn't like in a fully like robust, coherent nervous system. So it was just like adding more fire to my conditioning that I grew up in this like sex negative, like super distorted environment around sexuality that all of us grew up in. Yeah. You know, watching like rap videos and like, you know, pose on yachts, you know, like when I'm 8 years old and watching like Jay-Z's Big Pimpin' video and like different, I love hip hop. Like hip hop is just like, it's a core thread of my beingness, and seeing some of the like less than like fully honoring expressions of sexuality that I unconsciously took on, you know, subtle objectification and, you know, that stuff that I've been like weeding out of my system through contemplation and this is a fun story. At my 10-day silent meditation retreat on like day 7 or 8, I've been just going in for like 8 days, and I start to see the lyrics of rap music that I grew up listening to as a kid, like just being like printed out like in my third eye, and from this place of deep contemplation, I started to feel into just everything that was underneath those lyrics. And as I was seeing them, I'm like, oh man, like that's not the most honoring expression towards women, you know, bitches and hoes and like, bitch, come here and suck my dick. And like, just like that, those expressions. And that's not at all to like, shit on hip hop. Cause like, I love it. It's one of the greatest like wisdom dispensation mechanisms. And you and I freestyled together and we did that for like an hour one day. But yeah, but there's a, you know, just like everything is evolving, you know, I choose to be as like omnipositive in my considerations for humanity, which at this point in my life is like seeing, it sounds so obvious, but it's like seeing women as more than their bodies and like really seeing their soul and seeing them as like someone's daughter and soon to be someone's mother and like holding them in that like wholesome, holistic light while simultaneously having access to your dark side and having access to different like, you know, BDSM kink type spaces or primal spaces and like having all of that simultaneously and being able to show up to your beloved in like in service of her highest pleasure. It's a whole different ballgame than, you know, 20 years ago when I just had no idea what I was doing because sex was so taboo and hidden and my sexual expression was so repressed. So it's been so illuminating running this program after doing like a lot of work in sexuality in 2013 and then having a baseline of like being very just very comfortable in my body and in my sexual expression and like not having any like complaints, you know, and but to go even deeper and I'm hitting these like higher octaves in sexual expression that are just way more like mystical and supernatural on a regular basis and like having that just continue to open up and open up.
Say more about the higher octaves and the mystical.
Yeah. And so as you ask that question, I'm gonna let you into my process. I'm like, I'm tuning into you and me and the context of this conversation, which is public. So then the way that I would speak to you one-on-one is different than I would speak to like clients in a certain way, which is different to how I speak publicly. Cause there's like these, like, at least in my nervous system, there's like levels, there's almost like levels of clearance or like levels of things that feel appropriate to share publicly and things that feel more appropriate to share on like a one-on-one context. So that's, I just wanted to like let you and everyone listening into my process of like how I choose to share. It's like I tune into the field and I feel, okay, what is most appropriate to share here. So as I do that, I'll speak from like from a compendium of my experiences and then different other men's experiences. So when I say like mystical or transcendent experiences, there are states of lovemaking where, you know, two partners can like really merge and really just open their hearts up and allow different expressions of sexuality just to move through the system. So, sometimes those are, you know, like extremely primal an animal where it's a surrender to our animal nature. And it's just like really letting go of control, letting go of any constraints of dogma and right or wrong, and like allowing that kind of animal primal part of you have an expression. And for me, I mean, I've had one experience where like I mounted my partner and just like, and I could feel the energy like in my torso, like in my glutes and my lower back. Like I felt like I had this distinct felt sense of like, oh, that like that's an animal. I'm an animal right now. Like I'm like a lion or a gorilla mounted on another animal. And like, and this feels really good. And you know, so there's different primal expressions. There's energetic expressions, which opened up about 10 years ago, and it's merging your mind with your sexual energy. It's like taking like the mouse pointer of your awareness that you can build with different concentration practices, like staring at a candle or staring at a tree or staring at a blade of grass, and developing that concentration, like different yogic practices. Like I used to teach yoga, so I had a lot of practice of concentration, and it's like merging that with your sexual energy. And then from there, like you have this ability to like run sexual energy with your partner and just, put your hands on her and use your consciousness to like fuck her with your energy, or send it deeper, like up into her brain, or to be able to breathe an orgasm into someone, or to be able to just like explore each other's bodies. And the more attuned that the both of you get to the flows of erotic energy moving through your body, I mean, it truly becomes like this like infinite playground that's restorative and regenerative and super fucking hot, and sometimes so explosive. And like when I say explosive, there's times in lovemaking where these like weird orgasms will just like kind of like explode, and then afterwards, like there's so much energy, it feels like a supernova just like went off in the room. And like maybe you're both like shaking, or maybe it's so much energy that you just both like lay down and bask in the magnetics of the co-created space that you both created together, and just like lay down like you're in some sort of like extraterrestrial healing chamber or something. And then you get up and like you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, wow, I look really young, and I look really good. Something that I love about great sex is I love how it transforms bodies. There's just something I know you and I have we have a super geeky, nerdy love for the body. Like we love anatomy and
Fashion. Yeah.
kinesiology and interoception. We're both, pretty clairsentient, so we have psychic feeling and we can feel, movement patterns in people's bodies. And someone can use their interoception to start to like tune into their partner or their lover's body and start to tune into their desire body of, oh, how does she wish to be touched right now? And it's like a play by play. It's like the closest to like a play by play. I don't want to say owner's manual, because owner's manual projects like this is the right thing to do. Like this is the progression that works every time. But
Like an
women's,
emergent unfolding.
yeah. But like women's bodies are like dynamic living organisms. All, men, our bodies are dynamic living organisms. Like you and I are different now than from when we started this conversation, and then we'll be different when we end this conversation. It's like we're always different every time that we meet. And when we're able to meet in the context of lovemaking with curiosity instead of any expectations. My teaching partner, Rob Kanzler, is who's teaching with me. He has like 14 years of just like real deep exploration. Very deep exploration in the space. He has dozens of stories that just like blew my mind. I was like, damn, son, like those are some stories. So he's a really extraordinary teacher and an extraordinary feeler. He's a really extraordinary feeler. So yeah, just something that I remember he shared on one of our calls was that, he said, sometimes when I show up in the context of lovemaking, like I just like even forget like what is sex. And I just completely let go of any idea of what it is and just allow the exploration to happen. And from that space, from like coloring outside the lines, that's where I consistently meet myself in a place of magic, of like sex magic and sexual mysticism. And that might look like a crazy orgasm exploding from her solar plexus. That might feel like a spirally orgasm going through her whole body. Like that might feel like, that might feel like me like rubbing her hand in a way that has it feel like I'm rubbing her clit, and her like feeling it throughout her whole body, because like our entire bodies are orgasmic. It's like it's not just our genitals, and a lot of people have a like an over concentration in their genitals, and you know it's bringing the erotic energy throughout the whole body. What's present for you? I just talked for like 3 or 4 minutes at a time.
Yeah, I'm enjoying you. I'm resonating with everything you're saying. I'm super present to aliveness or sparkliness or twinkliness or like the erotic life force moving through all the cells in my body. And I don't know if you noticed, there was a moment where you looked away briefly and I had a very intense like kriya, or like my body just jumped really. So I'm feeling, how do I even describe this experience? It's like from the deepest depth of my being, there's just an opening and going, okay, let's fully receive the transmission of what Michael's sharing and just let things happen. Let's just let there be impact. Let's let things move and shift, and that's happening. And then in terms of relating with you in the conversation, I really was struck by the term the soul of sex. And for me, it touched in on how at some point I noticed I pulled away from sex pretty intensely in my 20s. Like I started taking very long breaks away from sex. And it was like, I thought there was something wrong with me. Like, why don't I want to go out and just sort of hunt down women? And I was like, wait a minute, this whole culture of drinking and doing drugs and having sex in this way just feels terrible in my system. And there was a process of sort of pulling away from that and then finding, you talked about not needing to get anywhere, coming from our beingness and not trying to get to orgasm, not trying to get to ejaculation, not really having anywhere to go, just being here now in relationship with the partner who's in front of us. For me and you, the woman who's in front of us. Although I do feel, one thing that's happening to me is I feel like love for my homosexual friends and bisexual friends, and I want to have a inclusive conversation. And I also, like, I've never had sex with a man, so I'm like, hey everyone, I want you to feel included, and I also am gonna talk about what I have, what I have experience with. So I'm naming that, and yeah, and
Totally.
there feels
Yes. Thank you for thank you for looping that in. Yeah, that's
Yeah, totally. I want to name the that's where I'm coming from. And then there's just this consistent feeling as you're talking of like, am I ever not having sex, like with reality, with the whole, with the cosmos, with the universe? Like it just feels like I'm always in this interdynamic dance with manifestation and what's yet manifest. And there's this breathing each other into and out of being that I'm really present with and experiencing in this moment. So yeah, how's that to hear?
That's reminding me, you know, I've my solo sexual practice, which I think is very important for everyone to have, one, to develop like sexual sovereignty, to be able to come to like a place of like fulfillment within yourself, to like love your entire body, your ears, in your mouth, like your armpits, your anus, like underneath your knees, there's like every body part, every bone, every muscle, to like really explore it and infuse it with love, and to learn what it's like on a somatic level to be loved by yourself, and to feel your own heart like loving on your body. I find that to be wildly healing and wildly illuminating of what is stuck in my body, like what experiences got stuck in there that were like me dishonoring myself, or this is pretty strong language, but we've talked about it in our container, or of even us violating ourselves by having sex that, yep, yeah, dude, totally. Us
Oh, I've done.
violating ourselves by having sex that like we weren't a full body yes to, and then showing up in like a fragmented in a fragmented expression of sexuality, because maybe we did it just because, like, I mean, there's a myriad of reasons. So for men listening, you know, maybe you did it because you were scared she was going to tell everyone that like you didn't fuck her, and then you make fun of her, like, or like maybe you did it just because, like, you know, you were in such a place of scarcity around sex, like, I don't know if I'll ever have sex again, or maybe you didn't, you know, because, like, you know, you guys were both drunk and, like, you know, you wanted to fuck each other, but then the next day, as you tuned into, like, the truth of your relationship, you wouldn't have done that without sex, you know, just without alcohol. Just like there's all these different times where I've gone back and, like, noticed the times where I abandoned myself, and I said yes to things that, like, weren't quite a yes. Maybe I felt bad for the woman. Oh, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, maybe she doesn't get laid as much, and I'll, you know, give her some cock or something. It just, there's all these different, like, expressions that lack congruence. And I mean, that's an ultra deep a rabbit hole for, I mean, anyone listening, you know, regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation. Yeah, that's something that I want to double click on. So for the listener, I want to double click on, you know, what were the times when you dishonored your own boundary and, like, dishonored your body and your heart, and there was, like, a little bit of self violation because you said yes to something that, like, you know, wasn't actually a yes. And then, you know, can you go back and really see what parts of you were acting, or, like, what the patterns or coping strategies were? And then can you forgive yourself and then really love yourself and then take a stand for the expressions of sex that, like, you really desire and are available for, and then for the expressions of sex that you're not available for? And if you do that, I have a strong hunch you'll likely feel something moving, and you might feel like a bit of a purge, but your body's probably going to feel better, and you're probably going to feel more of a lightness and more of an attraction that, like, actually feels, like, honoring to your body. I believe few people have had sex from a place of self-love and from a real place from love. Like my heart aches as I say that, but, like, I know it to be true because it was the case for myself, and I've worked with, like, many men around this, but few people have had the experience of having sex from a place of self-love with a partner that they love, and the hot passion primal fuck is synthesized with love for oneself, love for life itself, love for the beautiful human in front of you that you're sharing your body and energies with. And that is, like, that is a wonderful cocktail of experiences that is free. Yeah. And available for all of us as we say no to certain expressions of sexuality that, you know, that are rooted in, you know, lack or scarcity or objectification, or, you know, using each other's bodies just to get off, or just to, like, relieve some tension, and instead honoring the life of each other, being in that place of, like, oh my God, it's so amazing to be alive, and I'm choosing to share my body with you right now, and you're choosing to share your body with me, and, like, we love each other and we love life and we're grateful to be alive, and there's all these, like, celebratory joyful energies that come out of that expression that I didn't know were available to me up until very recently, where I started hitting expressions of, like, joy. Yeah. And it makes sense because most humans have guilt and shame and dirtiness and wrongness completely attached to their genitals and their bodies and their minds. So, of course, when they have sex, all the guilt and the shame dampens sensation, and it dampens the experience of what is possible. And that's a really great control mechanism if you want to control a lot of people. Not to go in, like, conspiracy theory territory, but that's a great control mechanism. If you want to control a human, then just control
their alive and their sex.
Yeah. Control their sex and their aliveness, and a portal a portal to embodied states of divinity exactly. that are accessible, similar to that in like a DMT journey or ayahuasca or breath work. You know, they're for the listener who's listening, I promise you that transcendental sex like is a possibility for you. Like, I don't care what your history was. I don't care what you believe about sex. I don't care what your ideas are about it, but it is a possibility for you because you're a human and that's your birthright.
Ooh.
That felt really good to say.
Yeah, and I, okay, so let's see. So I want to speak to the guilt and the shame and the stories on top of our genitals. So I just mm-hmm. want to name for anyone who's listening, these stories and these energies, the psychic material, this is all what in my world we call an introject, which is psychic material and stories that aren't ours. And so they require a release technique. We let all this, there's a letting go. Like, that's not mine. This story about my sexuality, this story about I'm not good enough, this story about my worth as a human being, all these things I got from culture or my parents or my religion, my pastor, my preacher, my teacher, wherever I got it from, we do release work to support people letting go of that and reconnecting to who we are underneath the material that we took on from wherever we took it on from. So I do want to name that in a sense of, I see a lot of people who are supporting people with this work trying to integrate that stuff. Like, well, what's it like to have shame, or what's it like to live with the guilt? And it's like, actually, that's more deeply embedding the introject that really needs to be released. Like, if your, you know, teacher shamed you for having a boner or something as a kid, like, that shame's not yours. We don't need to more deeply integrate that. We can actually let that go back to the teacher and not carry it around anymore. So I want to name that for people listening. And also I feel called to be vulnerable and bring in on a personal note some of my stories of times when I mean, I'm not going to go into story, but like stories that I was operating under when I violated my own boundaries. Things like, you know, I have to please a woman, or
that's a good one.
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize it. It's like, oh, I have to please her. Like, as if she wants to have sex, I have to have sex with her. I mean, somewhere in me, I literally had that story running in my script somewhere.
Same. That's a big one for men. Like that, like, oh, she wants sex, I have to fuck her. I have to, like,
it's
a very common one.
Yeah.
As if we have no autonomy over our bodies.
What the hell is that shit? So, yeah, I mean, you know, on the other side of that, it's like, holy shit, I have so many standards I wasn't aware of. Like, my new bar is 100%. Not new, but my bar now is 100%. If I'm feeling 95% yes to having sex, I don't do it. It's 100% for me. And there's all kinds of things that I'll check. And what we're getting into in this conversation is, where is the impulse to have sex coming from? And for me, I've gotten, you know, you were talking about our psychic capacities and being clairsentient and being able to feel things, but it's like, I can feel when something's coming out of like a wound, when something's coming out of feeling lonely or wanting connection. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. But also, if someone's wanting to feel connection right now, maybe sex isn't the mechanism we want to use to feel that connection. Maybe it is, but let's be more explicit and let's bring more awareness around, where is the impulse to have sex coming from? And for me, ultimately, what I get juiced up about is like, let's have, as you're talking about these mystical experiences, like let's come together and have sex in a way where there's nothing left afterwards, like where we just get burned up into oblivion and all that's left is God. that's it. You know what I mean? There's nothing left but love. That's the kind of sex I want to be having. So there's like, I find all these things that can impact that. And I don't really drink alcohol at all anymore, but I also don't want to have sex if someone's been drinking alcohol. I don't want to have sex. There can be times where psychedelics and sex is super cool and interesting. But like, are we both rested? Are we both energized? Have we gotten salt? Like, there's a lot of things we need to have a sexual experience that's really magnetic and juicy and palpable. And is there love present? I mean, I asked recently someone who I was, we were in a conversation about whether or not we were going to have sex. And I was going, is love flowing freely between the two of us? Like, is love free to flow in me, through me, in you, through you, between the two of us? Because if love's not here, I can't do just the primal. I can't do just the animal. I want to do the animal, but it's got to be infused with and saturated by and dripping with love, like sourced from love. And that's the updraft of love is moving through both of us in the space and awareness itself. So.
Amen. Yeah. On my second trip to Peru in 2017 to do ayahuasca, I remember something that came to me. It was just a commitment of just no more sex without love.
Yeah.
It just came through, and I was like, I was just no more sex without love. And I could see where I just was damaging my heart over the years and bypassing my heart, bypassing my just my truth, sharing myself and opening up from a place more of like compulsion or just needing to release tension or just like lust. And after experiencing sex with love, you're like, whoa, there's so much more nourishment. It's so generative to have sex with love. It's so generative. It's such a rare experience. It's such a rare experience, like from the ways that we've been conditioned by movies and porn and, culture. Porn is watching two actors who aren't even getting paid that much money fuck each other, often aggressively, with a camera crew there. And that's how a majority of us are getting socialized and educated to what sex is.
That's how I got socialized and educated to sex.
Yeah, same. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's what we think sex is. So this oftentimes like hyper aggressive, just not, love is devoid. Love is completely devoid in those expressions. So then that's what gets, using your term of the interjects, like those are the sexual interjects that we take on. And I'm grateful that I've had, I've had like partners over the years. I had a partner who could sense when the porn imprint would come through, and like she would just get like repulsed, of course. And she'd be like, whoa, 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 where'd you go? Because my soul and my presence and my essence was present. And then something would happen and just like this porn imprint would like take over, and I'd go into like porn star mode. And then the energy would just drop out, because it'd be more of that like interject coming through, not like the depth of my soul, not my essence, not the truth of who I am, minus conditioning. This is kind of a deep conversation to be having publicly, so I'm just naming that for the listener that it might see. How do we, I want to ensure that everything that we're talking about gets integrated. So I personally don't speak of porn from like a right or wrong place, so I'm not speaking from like a dogmatic kind of like moral, like if you watch porn then you're bad or a sinner. So there's no shaming or judging or like policing over here on my part. But from my own personal experience and from research and from having friends, Tyson Adams is a really great friend of mine. He works with men and helps them like quit porn addiction. And he's a very like multidimensional, expansive, just a gorgeous soul. It's like a wonderful man, like just a wonderful man. And me and him talk a lot about porn addiction and just like how deep the roots go into our nervous system when when a man starts to like maybe use right breath work, psychedelic, like authentic movement and meditation to really like go to the roots of where his sexual expression is. Oftentimes there's all these things that just like aren't the healthiest form of expression and aren't rooted in love and aliveness and the celebration of life and our divinity, you know, our us being a unique individuation of the divine. I'm enjoying the calm that we're in right now. There's some like I call it good ass silence. I felt like a wave of good ass silence just came through. So I love that you, me, and the listener are basking in some good ass silence right now. Because it feels like it's the silence that's supportive of this conversation, because we are going pretty deep into sexual distortions and dysfunction. And we're speaking directly to some of the polluted waters in which we all were born into. And instead of just accepting our genetic inheritance, we have the opportunity to choose different, and to choose better, and to allow our sexual expression to originate from the love that we are. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I know it, if I'm feeling care for our listeners and just want to say, if anybody's feeling like things are being kicked up, I just want to invite you to take some real nice full breaths, take some nice deep breaths. And if things are coming up,
we can breathe with you. Do you want to breathe with the listener?
Yeah, we're breathing with the listeners. And I just want to invite you, if stuff is coming up that wants to come up and out, that you can just let it come up and out and leave. Any stories, any conditioning, any energy that's not yours, anything related to you or sex or your sexuality, your sexual identity, who you're attracted to, if there's any shame, guilt, or judgment that you took on from the external world, from any time in your childhood, just any of that, just let it move however it wants to. Let it come up and out of your body and your being the way it wants. And we're just here holding you in love and breathing together, enjoying this wave of, did you say good ass calm, something like that?
I think I did say, oh, good ass silence, I think.
Yeah, so it's helpful to just sink into the good ass silence and let all this energy move the way it wants. Let it go back to when and where you got it.
And as you do that, notice that it's not your fault and you've never done anything wrong. And your current sexual expression, it's a byproduct of the environment that you grew up in and this sort of twisted relationship with sexuality that culture has.
And we love you just the way you are.
I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna do a throwback to something you said. Is that I love that you said, like, I feel a little jealous. Anytime anyone shares jealousy with me, just my heart just instantly opens up. Like I embrace people so deeply when they have the courage to share jealousy, because one, it takes courage to share that. And two, I know when someone shares jealousy, they're just sharing the future self that they see that they are becoming.
Forrest is a sex coach for men. Oh gosh. Maybe, yeah. Could be.
Maybe not.
Could be.
I love that you're in a house right now that I've visited. I've lived there in the home in Puerto Rico. that's a gorgeous mansion in, you know, in San Juan, a very sex positive environment where I think where sexuality is really like really celebrated.
Yeah, so this is the house I'm living in is called Skyway, and I've been here a week. I'll be here another few weeks. Definitely a sex positive household. Lots of stuff going on, which I'm clear I'm not going to name names, and I could speak to some things that I'm experiencing here. I should say bearing witness to more than experiencing, but experiencing from awareness.
Yeah, I really love, I've witnessed a lot of sexual expression at Burning Man or play parties or workshops, and there is something that's I think wildly permission giving. Yeah, it's very permission giving to you know to see other couples in yeah in their sexual expression to witness the diversity in it to be able to feel one's own true yes and no of ooh do I want to observe do I want to be a part of this does this bring up any material within myself do I have you know any judgments or any fears it's I mean it's, the exploration of sexuality is it's such a deep pathway into our embodiment of our aliveness. Yeah. And it is a and it is a dojo or a container that needs the just the highest integrity in the architecture of the container so that things don't get, you know, a little too awry, which happens. And I've, you know, I have friends who run cuddle parties and run sex parties and you know run education programs around sexuality and yeah it's something I've talked a lot about with different leaders is how do we architect the space so that it's like it's the safest and the deepest and the shared agreement field really holds everyone because most of us do have some form of sexual trauma or some form of sexual trauma, even if it's just growing up in a world that shames us for being a sexual being, despite us being alive because our parents had sex. Like it's fucking insane when you think about it. Like when I've just like written this out or contemplated some people's beliefs around sexuality, it's like wow, like this is a this is like a collective madness that we've somehow all agreed to that we're gonna like shame this thing that is us, that like is the life force moving through us, and we're gonna just like make it bad. And like when a kid touches himself when he's five, just because he's like exploring his genitals, we're gonna say, don't do that. That's so gross. That's so bad. People are gonna see you. And then just boom, and just stifle his expression and make him think that he's dirty or wrong.
Yeah,
It's
and there's go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
it's kind of like we're all in a prison and like we're all the prisoners, like the prisoners and the wardens at the same time. And we're all here like policing each other because of these ideas, just because of ideas. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like, and my the children inside of me have always been like, okay, we like how like we talked about, I learned about porn, I learned about sex through porn and you know TV shows and these kind of things, and then it's like you get into sex positive environments and that can be really intense. There's orgies happening or BDSM dom sub stuff going on, and it's like the little kids in me have been like, is there a way we can sort of do training wheels on this thing, like how, like where are boundaries, how do you ask for what you need, how do you even know what you need to ask for in the first place, like feeling the subtle energy dynamics and things. Like there's been a when I had that big pull away from sex that I was talking about in my 20s, and I started taking really extended breaks from sex, like pretty, I mean, I think a couple of times I went years without having sex. And then it was like, and then there was a desire for like train, like sex with training wheels, or like, can we start with touch and consent? Can we both consent to this, right? Can we both agree this is okay? How do we ask for what we want and check? And I was recently, are you familiar with the wheel of consent?
Oh, yeah.
I was introduced to that recently. I'm going, oh, that's kind of cool to play around with, and just even like with a friend, not even in a sexual environment, but just play with what's it like to ask for something or to give something for my pleasure, for your pleasure. And just from there, like I feel like a boot up, like a onboarding into being a sexual being that's a little bit more full and healthy and stable and empowered and robust and skillful. That's been like the children in me have been wanting that. So we like, you know, been fleshing out the territories in my consciousness and in my being that are like, hey, where are these earlier pillar relating capacities that are needed to just be able to be in relationship in a healthy way?
Yeah, and then as you experience yourself in that embodiment, it's a fuller experience, because like there's more safety in your body. It's like you're there in your legs and in your cock, and like just everything is landed, and you're at choice, and you're not dysregulated, so you're able to tune into her on a moment to moment basis, and to see, oh, that she's actually a no. Maybe it's, oh, would you like to make love? And she's like, yeah, I guess so. And then her body constricts, and you say, that I didn't quite get 100% no. And like, I don't need to have sex right now. It's a desire that I'm noticing. You're beautiful. I love spending time with you, but I only want to connect if like we're both a fuck yes. And I would much rather just cuddle and like hold hands or do whatever feels right for you, so that both of us, leave this experience just feeling so good. So I would love to meet you in whatever feels so good for you, and then only that. And that's me speaking from, like, if I was single right now, like that's me speaking from an expression of dating.
Yeah, I mean,
And
in my world, like that's my I can't go and penetrate through a boundary. It violates my being. Like I'm just like if I if, even if the mouth and the voice is saying yes, I want sex. If I'm feeling something subtly, maybe it's my own boundary that I'm projecting onto her, and I think it's her, but it's actually me. Regardless, there's something there that I'm hitting, whether it's in her, whether it's in me, whether it's in the we space, whatever. I'm hitting that. I'm going, I'm not just gonna bulldoze through that. Like that doesn't feel good for me. Let's like slow down, get present with the experience that's happening here. I'm coaching myself, by the way, in this moment. I'm going, hey, let's slow down. Let's see what's here. Let's get curious. What is this thing that I'm contacting in my awareness? What's the wisdom? What's the wisdom it has? What does it want? And you know, like you said, I don't need sex. That's a super empowering posture just in and of itself. Like I don't need sex. I'm here for what feels like 100 for me, and I'm here for what feels like 100 for you. If that's us having tea, if that's going for a walk, if that's cuddling, like great. And yeah, let's go from here. That for me is the bar, the 100% bar. It's a full fuck yes or it's a no.
Yeah, I'd love to bring a really great resource in, and it'd be great if you put this in the show notes. There's an article from Daniel Schmachtenberger, who's like one of my few living heroes, just an amazing human. And he wrote this blog post called "A Message for Men Who Want to Avoid Women Regretting Having Been Sexual with Them." And it's just a yeah, it's yeah, it's a message for men who've experienced women feeling badly about having a sexual experience with them, and then wanting to prevent that in the future. And it's like a they're just practices of just like checking in with her on being congruent and only taking steps if you're both sober. And when I first read this, I was like, oh yeah, I do all this stuff. But there were a couple that like I fully didn't. And I think one of them was talking about what sex means for both of us and like what do we want it to mean and what do we not want it to mean. So that got added to my, you know, that got added to my awareness of how to create just really high integrity sexual agreement fields. But it's a really great blog post. And with the woman who I'm dating now, we've been dating for a year. I actually pulled this out and we read over everyone and just had a full conversation. Just I was like, hey, I've never done this before, but I'd love to like read this blog post that I think would like really help us come to clarity, like if we are going to be sexual in any way. And we read through and just had this like really adult conversation. And then after that, it's like, yeah, I'm still a yes. Are you a yes? Yeah. But then we were able to just show up with just so much more freedom. And the experience that doing that, what doing that saves you from is the experience of having sex with someone and then afterwards laying in bed and being like, uh-oh, I wonder if she thinks I'm her boyfriend now, or uh-oh, what does this mean now? So these conversations keep people from having any uh-ohs after sex or any fear after sex, because it brings you both into a place of deep congruence. And why would you not give yourself that gift? And some people, I know some people who sometimes like push back on consent or having conversations will say, oh, it takes away the passion or it takes away the spontaneity. But in my personal experience, like having these conversations creates safety and it creates clarity that really allows you to both like unleash your full fuck and like really unleash that. Even if you're not in a committed relationship, you know, like even if you're not like boyfriend, girlfriend or in partnership, you can architect this really safe agreement field and have an exquisite experience together and then feel fully full afterwards and know that like you're not fully aligned for partnership, but you're both super grateful for having a wonderful sexual experience together that like lives in you forever and raised the bar for what's possible. So there are like like enlightened one night stands, you know. It's like it's there definitely are, and I have a lot of evidence from a lot of my friends and just having this conversation, you know, some experiences I've had and experiences with different friends were by using language and courage, we're able to architect just really, really wonderful, honoring and super fucking hot, passionate, wild sexual experiences, but just with maturity and like mutual respect, which feels so much better in your body. Like it is night and day.
Yeah.
It is fucking night and day. But like it's afterwards, there is none of that. There's none of that feeling of like, oh man, I did it again, which any addict knows that feeling well, whether it's food or video games or porn or I don't know, social media, looking at your phone when you wake up, having sex with someone that like doesn't feel like a match, that feeling of like, oh fuck, I did it again. And that feeling of like mistrusting oneself and like losing trust in oneself, that can all be eliminated by being more intentional with how you fuck and how you make love, whether you're in or out of partnership. You know, it's just being very, very intentional. And I'm so lit up in my body right now. Like my spine is like standing up like more straight. And I kind of feel like a racehorse that just wants to like at the Kentucky Derby. I have so much like just excitement and passion around this because what, like for the listener, like what you can experience in sex, if you haven't been doing this, it's so much fucking better. It is so much better. It is so regenerative and truly magical, truly magical. And there's like, after I have sex like that, I will look at myself in the mirror and like this is an edge for me to share. I feel kind of vulnerable, but I will look so fucking hot and and my body is like completely reconfigured to look like some like sex god, and I'm like, that's my body. But it's because I was using my body in the way that it was designed, and my posture's better, my eyes are whiter, my face looks younger, just my body is more supple, and I'm like, wow, like I look fucking great. All my muscles are super defined. I'm like, wow, like that's what great sex can do for a body. Yeah. And the same thing for a woman's body. A woman's body after having really amazing sex is a fucking work of art, just supple and just free and happy, and just her radiance is coming through her eyes, and she's just so soft. You touch her skin, and it's like she has no resistance, and it's just like the softest, most supple, wonderful thing you've ever touched in your life. And that's available. That's available for all of us, as we do the work around sexuality. And it is so worth the work. The reward is so worth it. Yeah. And it's challenging sometimes. It is. It's painful to see how we violated ourselves or abandoned ourselves, or it's painful to see how little self-esteem we've had, or how little we've thought of ourselves and what we were deserving of in sex. I mean, just there's so many wounds, and there's so many like distortions around sexuality. Yeah. And there's like the real reality of like rampant childhood sexual trauma in boys and girls.
Yes.
So I mean that's another reality of like, finding safety in our bodies and starting to connect with people, whether it's a really attuned lover or a somatic experiencing therapist or nature, to be able to just work out, energetics of violation that I've had them in my life, in my, child, and even like as an adult, I've had like sexual violations. It was just really crazy stuff. And but like when that happens, I'm like, okay, this isn't mine. I'm gonna work it through my system and come back to my like original innocence and land back in that.
Yeah, maybe we could take a moment and drop into original innocence together, you and me, and with
Good.
our listeners.
I just saw when you said that, I saw your face like light up, like this little angel baby just like shot out of your face.
Yeah, let's drop into our inner angel baby.
I love the angel baby emoji. I use it a lot. If you type angel, one of them's an angel baby. So we're dropping into angel baby emoji energy, touching our original innocence, the part of us that has never done anything wrong, and the part of us that no matter how much pain or suffering or confusion we've experienced, it's the part of us that has just always been there.
Yeah,
What is it?
as I connect into my original innocence, I can still feel there's some things from this place I can let go of. I'm noticing a few things that can kind of leave. So that just happened.
Nice.
Yeah, and then there's this like my original innocence is like, gosh, Michael, it is just speaking as my original innocence, it's like, oh my gosh, it is such a big world out here. It is such a big universe. Like, what the heck is even happening? I don't know how any of this stuff works. It's like unfathomable. It's like I'm in wonder, I'm in awe, I'm in like, oh, can you believe this? Can you believe this? And I don't know what to do. I don't have any idea how anything works. I hardly even know the contours of my own body. Like, I don't know where my where do I begin? Where do I end? Like, it's like I just feel so tender and vulnerable and like held and like this could be incredibly scary if I let it be. Like, I'm just breathing and nurturing the like sense of wild, wonderful, like almost bewildered, just like unfathomable. Wow. What is this place? What is this? Holy smokes. Wow. Ooh. And how cool this is. I'm just sitting here with my friend Michael, and we're just making this recording, and like, who the heck knows who's going to listen to it and what that'll invite for them? And what are we even doing out here anyway? Like, I have no idea what's going on. This is just wild. Wow. Wow. What the heck? Wow, what a trip this is. Oh my God. What in the heck?
I'm opening my heart. I'm opening like the armoring and protection in my heart to you to sync up with more of your original innocence feeling. And I just saw this funny image of us being babies at a hospital. Being us being babies at a hospital, just so sweet and innocent and lovable with everyone just saying, "Oh, Michael and Forrest, they're so cute, they're so lovable." And that exists within us still. And for all of the listeners, that inherent lovability that you were born with, even if your parents didn't see it, and even if some of the people around you didn't see it, there's a inherent lovability that you see as the nurse walks by and looks at you like you're the most beautiful thing that she's ever seen. And there's an undeniable feeling of being loved and being lovable, and that still exists within you today, and it always will, no matter how chaotic or confusing or challenging things get. That is like the primordial foundation of who you are.
Yeah. In my movie scene, I'm like sitting here in this incubator. It's Michael and Forrest hanging out, and there's, I don't know, at least a dozen big kids, adults, like looking at us, and I just feel so like held and like loved, and I see the awe in their eyes. Like, I'm really looking into each of their eyes, and I feel their love and their care and their presence and their attunement. God, the attunement, I need that. Oh my gosh, that is such a gift in this moment. Like, I can feel these adults feeling me. I can see them seeing me, like looking deeply into my eyes, and I can just like relax and trust that my needs are met. Like, if I need my diaper changed or if I need a feeding, if I need to be cuddled, there's so many adults here, like caretakers, who are ready to be with me. And I see you next to me, so I'm gonna say be with us in my universe. And like, and we're just like happy babies, like, ah! Like, what's going on?
And then I see us go into happy baby pose, and we're holding our feet and we're looking at each other with the felt known experience of being God who just showed up in these baby suits, and we're just laughing.
I'm sucking on my thumb right now. If anyone's watching the video on YouTube, I'm literally like,
Ha 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 ha.
It's so good. It opens up the whole midline and the central channel. It's like, yeah, I'm just sitting here like, man, this is a good life. This is a fat universe. We out here. We out here. What you got? What you want to do? Let's boogie. Let's boogie. What are we doing? What are we doing? Where are we going? What's happening?
I really admire you just like giving yourself the love that you desire in that moment just by sucking your thumb and like and allowing the pre-verbal infant aspects of yourself to just experience itself while being held in this place of like love and mutual love and compassion that we have for each other. I really admire that, and I can sense how you know, doing like really just fucking allowing yourself to like have its needs met, whether you're like sucking your thumb or holding yourself or eating a certain food, just that really does give us the nourishment that we need in the moment. And then that part of us goes, oh, cool, thank you for giving me what I need. Yeah. It's like a, it's, yeah, it's a, it's, it's a, it's an integrative practice.
Yeah, in this moment, my newborn has been picked up by the adults in the room, and they're all holding me and bouncing me up and down and kissing my head, and I'm like getting all this attention and all this. There's all this love and light and care and nourishment coming into my body. And I'm like, yeah, this is that good, good. This is that, no wonder kids say goo goo gaga. It's like, this is that good, good gaga, baby. This is good stuff right here. That good, good gaga, baby.
That was the most adorable infant expression I've ever heard from a grown ass man. What's so beautiful about that is that there's, you know, we're I can sense it in our nervous systems. It's like we're becoming more whole through this sacred theater. And I'm someone who long ago let go of the opinions of others in order to test like an experiment using my creativity and my imagination, things that would make me feel better. So a lot of just like the it's so interesting. There's all these like experiments that I did over time that I'm starting to even see like turn into different like modalities or programs that yeah, it's been a really interesting phenomenon. But yeah, it's like I will do anything that like makes me better, and that is useful. And sometimes it involves becoming babies with my homie Forrest. Just and integrating my inner infant from a place of just like deep love and like rewriting the timelines of my incarnation.
Yeah, it's alive. Space and time are alive.
I like that space and time are alive is a very good, that's a very good articulation that it does create more of a malleability to space and time. And they're doing this work in Dr. Joe Dispenza's community, just miracles left and right, like left and right, people tapping into the quantum field. My friend Brian Shewitt, who's actually he lived at Skyway a bit. He went to a recent one and like someone healed like a deaf ear. I think someone got up out of a wheelchair. There was someone who used to talk like this, the very a very damaged expression of speaking. And then like on the last day, this guy gets up on stage and he's just talking normal. Just the, all of that stuff got worked through.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I have I told you I had my own kind of Joe Dispenza thing when I broke my leg. We're not going to go into that right now. We'll do another podcast at some time. But it's crazy. It's crazy to go to that depth and be like, all right, the body's a construct of the mind. Let's recreate the body from nothing. It's that my experience is that'll take you to the deepest depths of your being. Well, at least the deepest depths I've accessed.
Yeah, and
By
with
true creatorship and true sovereignty.
which includes your genitals, so you can do cock repair and pussy repair and womb repair, with your consciousness and remembering that you're a creator, a co-creator.
Yeah, you can direct healing with your awareness, just bringing your awareness to your genitals or to parts of your body. You can bring healing in. Bring healing, just directing your awareness there. Like you, I love your mouse pointer image. Like just put the mouse pointer over wherever in your body you want to send some healing. Maybe it's your knees, maybe it's your genitals, maybe it's your back, whatever. Gallbladder.
What else is present? I feel like I want to open up maybe two or three more conversational portals to bring us home.
Yeah, I do too, and I'm also mindful of I have a time boundary, so I'm feeling like the two or three portals are going to be two or three more episodes. Just I'm excited at the possibility or the actuality of you being a regular on the show now. It just feels so good for me.
It does. Yeah. Thank
Love
you. Thank you
talking
for
with you, man. I just have so much fun doing this.
same. Thank you for having a platform that really inspires me to like come and play and like be my full self and just hang out in friendship and some of the conversations that I love the most. And yeah.
Man, I thank you for bringing your full self and for your friendship. I adore our connection, our friendship. I just love getting to be together. I feel super met and like seen, and the things open up in me and unfold for me. Like this conversation's been really healing for me. I don't know if I've ever really gotten to talk about sex publicly. I mean, having chit chat here and there, but that's I just feel like more in the world. I feel more of open, available. I'm tremendously grateful to you for coming on the podcast and being available for a conversation like this so openly and vivaciously with, friendship and connection and brotherhood. I just feel tremendous appreciation for you, a lot of love for you, and grateful we're connected.
Same. Yeah, so then let's take us home. I want to end today's conversation, and I want to end by, for the listener, I celebrate your sexual expression. It really is a gift. And whoever you choose to share that with, in a way that is, consensual and safe and honoring. It's a gift, and it's a gift for the rest of your life. I know many people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s swear on my life that like it's like I know people who just have amazing sex, and one of them was my mentors, and I remember he told me he said, Michael, I have had the best sex of my life every decade. And I could feel the truth in him saying that. And it just even hearing that completely like eradicated my idea of what I would look like and fuck like in my quote unquote like elderly years, because even aging and like the way that we're supposed to age is a story, and most people tend to just kind of slip into the consensus narrative of what's possible. When I choose to personally like find the most like extraordinary experiences and create my own sample set and live into that, because why not? I have the right to. Everyone has the right to create their own sample set of.
I feel like I'm getting younger every day, man. Honestly, I just said that with a little bit of a voice crack. So I think I'm just re-entering puberty now, like at 32. Just
Let's
I'm
go.
It is though, like sex, like we're talking about, is like low key the fountain of youth. Like it will absolutely reboot your whole being.
It is. Yeah, there's I can even feel, like I feel it in my like hara, kind of lower dantian, like the male womb center. I feel like there's so much more like embodied wisdom and understanding that I have around sexuality that almost doesn't even, like it almost doesn't feel safe to share publicly, just like in full transparency. It's like the parts of me that I'm like exploring in my own sexual practice and doing this deep work with men, it's like it so goes against like the stories of sexuality that like I'm being educated by it, like by the field of like Eros, by the field of like sexuality itself. Like it is educating me on what's possible constantly. And there really is a real like youthifying factor to my face and to my skin and to my muscles and to my energy, you know, feeling that like horny teenager energy, like that horny athlete teenager energy that just feels so good in me.
So good, right? So, oh my God, I missed you. Like this energy is like, oh, I remember it was like the unbounded teenager. I just want to have sex energy.
And right, and so it's horny athlete teenager with like the wisdom of a sage and someone who's like, you know, just constantly growing and has a much more vast like cognitive understanding of the world with like design and technology and governance.
Sensitive, can set boundaries, can feel boundaries, like regulated. Good God, was I not regulated when I was 16? What the heck? You know, like regulated, coherent, at peace, in harmony with all of creation, plus like super cranked up 16-year-old. I just want to fuck energy.
And I wonder, this is a hypothesis that I've never had, but as you were sharing, and I feel like emotional again in my heart, like I almost want to cry. It's like I wonder how much of teenage dysregulation is from us having our sexuality start to emerge and feeling terrified of being wrong or sinning or doing something or getting a boner in class or like getting a girl pregnant or getting an STD, like all these horror stories
And
that are the interjects into like all these kids, essentially. I mean, and we're all kids at varying levels and stages of like evolutionary development, but just what if instead of that, sex education was just so much more like honoring and holistic and honoring of like turn on and orgasms and had like wheel of consent type stuff and like I have a strong hunch that teenagers would be way more regulated and in their bodies and not like hiding in their rooms, jacking off to porn, looking at their iPhones, worrying that like mom and dad are going to come in and catch them and then God's going to send them to hell because they're jacking off. But instead just honoring, it like my heart aches as I tap into the suffering of teenage boys and girls who are starting to like become a sexual being, which is just part of being human, and then just being bombarded with just so much like intense sex negative stuff and then porn. And there's two good books called, if anyone's like really passionate about this, there's books called Girls and Sex and Boys and Sex, written by Peggy Orenstein. And she did surveys of teenage girls and teenage boys. And the one on teenage girls gutted me. Like it just gutted my heart because like it was so painful just to hear like the experience of teenage girls in like a post Instagram world and like what like boys just like expect them to like suck their dicks, like they're just like it's just like the whole thing is like so twisted now, and I just had like no idea because I don't have teenagers, and you know, most of my work is with like adults. But yeah, those books were really good to just kind of like understand like what is sexuality like in a post-social media world. For me, it was an education that kind of gave me a lot more compassion and understanding for what's happening for like our youth, which our youth are our future leaders and elders. So it's really important that we create systems of education that like support all of us. And
yeah, we need like a sex, maybe we need like a sex ed for kids, and then we need a sex ed for kids for adults.
That's the program. I feel super complete, honored to be here. Anything that you wanted to wrap up with on your own show somehow?
I feel I've shared appreciation with you. I want to just echo that and share appreciation with the listeners. This could potentially be intense territory. Maybe it's not, but just feeling care for you. And just want to say, I love hearing from you all. So let us know, as you did with the last episode, how this is for you to hear. Leave a review on the podcast if you feel the impulse to, and definitely check out the links in the description. We'll have the link to the Daniel Schmachtenberger article that Michael mentioned, and also Michael links to your upcoming offering and our websites and these things. So please be in touch. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you, and we'll see you the next time we get together.
Thanks, y'all.